First John chapter 2, 22 to 23. Who is the liar? Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that we will not be liars, but only those who have true confession, that we love the truth, we acknowledge the truth, we confess it, and we preach it. We pray, Father, that we will understand the truth of these statements here, that we might correctly understand who we worship and who is preached, who is the true God and who is eternal life. We pray, Lord, that we'll understand in the face of opposition, in the face of false doctrine that is so common all around us. Enable us, Lord, to understand, to have comprehension and faith to believe everything that is in your holy word. We ask through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our apostle, the Apostle John, he continues to give us warnings and descriptions of what we ought to know and to note in order for us not to be shaken up and to be undermined in our faith. He tells us from the beginning until the end of the book that there is an easy susceptibility to listen to false doctrine and to false teachers. In our passage, he calls the adherent to that which is false, Antichrist. He introduced that fact in verse 18, that Antichrist is coming. But meantime, many Antichrists have arisen. Before the Antichrist, the ultimate Antichrist, arrives, he says that there are many who are against Christ. That should not surprise us that there are many against Christ. Christ warned us of this fact, that if we don't understand the true nature of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, what he is or who he is, his identity and his ministry, if we get any of that wrong, then we are against Christ. We are anti-Christ. He says this in Matthew 12, verse 30. Matthew 12, verse 30. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. He who is not with me is against me. If we are not with him, and it cannot be any him, which we will see, then we are against him. And if we are not gathering with him, the true Christ, we are actually scattering people. We must be gatherers, and we must be with him, not against him. We must be for him, not against him. This also is connected with the preaching of the gospel worldwide and what will happen throughout all the centuries and millennia, as long as it takes. He says this in Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24, a warning about the true Christ and the false Christs. 24, verse 5. Many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. Many will come saying, I am the Christ, and mislead many. 24:24 or 24:23, 24:23 to 25. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. So the warning we have from the Apostle John that there are many antichrists, these warnings should not be a surprise to us because Jesus Christ said it himself. The true Christ said that many false Christs will arise and false prophets teaching a false Christ will arise. It will happen. That should not alarm us. We should not be surprised at all by it. John is doing the same in 1 John chapter 2. Why? Because we do need to be reminded. So then, now in 1 John 2, 22, he portrays the one who denies Jesus as the Christ as a liar. First, he portrays him as a liar. Now, he's not talking about this being the only lie, because people lie about everything and many things daily, correct? He's talking about the ultimate liar, the supreme liar, the most egregious and the most heinous liar, the most blasphemous liar and denier of God. That's what he means here when he asks the question, who is the liar? He means it in that way. Obviously, there are many ways in which people can lie. But here, in verses 22 to 23, it has to do with whether we understand Jesus as the Christ, Jesus as the Son of the Father, and whether we understand it correctly in terms of his identity and his ministry, both who he is and what he came to do. This is what we must understand. And if we deviate from it, we are liars. Why is that the case? Because if God has spoken to us in his personal word, in his incarnate word, and if he has spoken to us in his written word, it would make us liars. In the spoken word, Christ self-identified as the Christ. He did so. Unmistakably so. He did identify that way, we shall see. Not only did he do that in terms of himself, but the prophets and the apostles also did. The angels also did upon his birth. The angels also upon his ascension. And at other points between his birth and his ascension, the angels were testifying to the veracity, the truthfulness of the Christ. So that would make the prophets of God liars if we deny what they say. It would make Jesus a liar if we deny what he says. It would make the apostles liars if we deny what the apostles say. It would make the angels liars if we deny what the angels say. But John anticipates that because in the world and in superficial Christianity, yes, they are making the prophets liars. They're making the apostles liars. They're making the angels liars, the heavenly angels liars. And they are making Christ himself a liar. And most egregiously, they're making God the Father a liar. They are doing that by denying the testimony of all of the witnesses who testify to who Jesus actually is. But we cannot make them liars. It's either they are telling the truth or they're not. But if they are telling the truth, then we are liars. If we reject, if we deny, if we modify, if we adjust according to our whims anything that they say about Jesus' identity and Jesus' ministry. Why would we be liars in terms of the prophets? Well, didn't the prophets in many places explain that the Christ would come into the world and that he would die and rise again for our sins? Didn't the prophets do so in many ways? Yes, this is the testimony of the apostles. So here we will acknowledge two. that the prophets of old and the apostles who quote the prophets are in unison saying that Jesus is the Christ. We find it in the book of Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts chapter 2. Acts 2:25 to 32. Peter the Apostle quotes David the prophet about the person and work of Jesus of Nazareth. For David says of him, 2:25, I was always beholding the Lord in my presence, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will abide in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so, because he was a prophet, and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants upon his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Peter says David proclaimed it. He is confirming it here, and it actually did happen that there were many witnesses, eyewitnesses of Jesus' ministry, Jesus' identity, his death, his resurrection, everything that is necessary to know for our salvation. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 7. We'll go first to Acts chapter 7. 751 to 53. This is Stephen, who was not an apostle. He was a disciple, a faithful disciple, but not an apostle. Stephen eloquently and irrefutably cites numerous Old Testament passages throughout Acts chapter 7 to prove the coming Christ. Then he says in 751, you men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your fathers did. Which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who had previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become, you who received the law as ordained by angels and yet did not keep it. What is Stephen's testimony before his murderous hearers? He says that you people, you men are stiff-necked, just like your ancestors were. Your ancestors murdered the prophets. Your unbelieving ancestors murdered the true prophets. And what did the true prophets preach, according to verse 52? The true prophets preached the coming of the righteous one, Jesus Christ. The true prophets of the Old Testament preached the coming of Jesus Christ, but their contemporaries hated the message of Christ, so they murdered the true prophets, just as they are about to murder Stephen. Acts chapter 8, we have another non-apostle who learned from the apostles preaching to the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts chapter 8, the eunuch is reading Isaiah 8 verse 30. 8 verses 30 to 35. Acts 8:30. And when Philip had run up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? and he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this: He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. He preached Jesus from Isaiah chapter 53, which means Philip is telling the eunuch, Isaiah was not talking about himself when he wrote Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah was writing and preaching to his contemporaries about the coming Christ, about the coming righteous one who would die and rise again for your sins if you believe in him. Isaiah was preaching this. Philip tells the eunuch. There are many such examples like this in the book of Acts. But we must ask the question, if the apostles and the prophets, if the angels and Christ himself said this, what was the main hang-up with the people? What was the hang-up with the Jews? Was it that there was no personal Christ coming? Was it that there was no one that they expected to come in their lineage, in the lineage of David, to help them? No, the problem was they despised the thought that Jesus of Nazareth would be the Christ, or could be the Christ. Jesus of Nazareth. Their main hatred, that's why John says, Jesus is the Christ. Why was it? Because they despised the thought that Jesus, which was a common name for a man, his name comes from the Old Testament commander and prophet Joshua. Joshua and Jesus come from the same Hebrew word. It was a common name for men in the time of the first century. So a common name, and then an uncommon place, a place that was a no-name place. It would be like in our own country, if someone were to come from a small place, a small town, a small state, that is not known by many people in the country, and not known by anybody in the world, for that matter, if we come from a small town, or a village, that's what Jesus was. He came from Nazareth. That's why in Acts 10:38, he says, Acts 10:38, Peter the Apostle says, You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Yes, Jesus of Nazareth, a common name from an uncommon town or village, Nazareth, and you don't expect anything good to come out of Nazareth. That's what Nathanael said, John 1. But something good did come. Why? Because God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power. God was with him. God endowed him with the ability to perform miracles and do good. Verse 43. Of him, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. This is the assertion of the prophets and the apostles, that the prophets bear witness to this Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the fulfillment of all the words of the true prophets, that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. This is the truth that they preached. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verses 2 to 3. Acts chapter 17. 2-3. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I am proclaiming to you is the Christ." What is the issue? The issue is not that the Christ is coming. The issue is whether Jesus that Paul preaches is that Christ, is that anointed one, is that supreme prophet, priest, and king, is the Redeemer who will die for our sins and rise from the dead. That is the issue that Paul had to prove, that everything predicted by the prophets could not be fulfilled in any other individual except the individual at the time, in the first century, Jesus of Nazareth. That's what he was seeking to prove to the Jews. It was also the task of Apollos. Apollos, also a disciple, not an apostle. And here's what it says in Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, verse 28. 18:28. "For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ." He powerfully refuted them publicly that Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus was the Christ. So then, anyone who says he's not the Christ is a liar. Now, did Jesus claim this for himself? Did Jesus claim this title for himself? We'll also see whether it's a made-up title, because there are skeptics, liberal scholars, liberal Christians, which is an oxymoron. You cannot be a liberal and a Christian, but so is the case that there are people who claim to be Christian, but they are liberal, and they say, Jesus never self-identified as the Christ. It was something invented later. It was invented later. Jesus never self-identified. Yes, he did self-identify. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John 4, 25-26. John 4, 25-26. "The woman said to him, 'I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us.' Jesus said to her, 'I who speak to you am he. I who speak to you am he.'" She knows, based on the Old Testament, and in the case of the Samaritans, they only believed in the book of Moses or the books of Genesis to Deuteronomy, which means that the Samaritan woman, based on Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, had sufficient knowledge from her teachers and the reading of the Scriptures that the Christ was coming. And there are many, numerous references in those books of Moses to the coming Christ. She knew of them, at least some of them, and put her faith in the coming Christ, that she was expecting him to come. She didn't know the man in front of her, Jesus of Nazareth, actually is the fulfillment. But when he speaks to her, she believes, and so do the townsmen of Samaria. Another place we find this to be the case, in John chapter 9. John chapter 9. This is the blind man who was healed. The blind man who was healed. 9:35. John 9:35. "Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, 'Do you believe in the Son of Man?' He answered and said, 'And who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?' Jesus said to him, 'You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you.' And he said, 'Lord, I believe.' And he worshiped him." Jesus says that he is the one who is talking with you. You have seen him, and he's talking with you. He believes, and he worships Christ. So Jesus self-identifies. John 11. John 11, 27. This is Martha. Jesus and Martha in dialogue. John 11, 27. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." She believed too, based on the Old Testament, that he was the Christ. And Jesus commends her for that. But one might say, somebody might say, well, only the believers believed he was. But the unbelievers, they were never told. Jesus never preached that he was the Christ, the Son of Man, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior. He didn't say that to unbelievers. He didn't never said that to his enemies. That's not true. There are a few examples, but we find one in Luke 22:66. Luke 22:66. 22:66 to 71. This is an indisputable example based on the reaction, their revulsion when they hear Jesus admit it. 22:66. "And when it was day, the council of elders of the people assembled both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to their council chamber, saying, 'If you are the Christ, tell us.' But he said to them, 'If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask a question, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God.' And they all said, 'Are you the Son of God then?' And he said to them, 'Yes, I am.' And they said, 'What further need do we have of testimony? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth.'" They heard from his own mouth, and in Mark and Matthew, they call it blasphemy. So here, Luke doesn't record that fact, that they considered it blasphemy, that Jesus would consider himself what? Look at the synonyms here. Verse 67, the Christ. 69, the Son of Man. Verse 70, the Son of God. Whatever title we use, the Christ or the Messiah, both mean the same. The Son of Man, the Son of God, the Coming One, the Righteous One, Savior, Redeemer, Mediator, any of these terms we use, we know we are talking about one individual who will come into the world, who will be God in the flesh, die for our sins, rise from the dead. And when he returns, he will judge the living and the dead. So then, if Christ claims to be the Christ, the prophets claim he's the Christ, the apostles claim he's the Christ, the disciples of the apostles claim he's the Christ, Stephen, Philip, and Apollos, they claimed he was the Christ, then if we deny that he is the Christ, we are liars. We are liars. Now, who would these liars be? Well, these liars are both within Christianity and outside of Christianity. Within Christianity, from the early days, these liars would deny either the deity of Christ or the humanity of Christ. They would deny the identity of God, being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They would say, no, only God the Father is God. The Son, we can call him a God, but he is not the God, and he does not possess deity. The Holy Spirit, he is influential, he is powerful, or it is powerful, but it is a force, it is impersonal, not a person. It is like the wind, like the air, invisible. He has power, but, or it has power, but there is no Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. These heretics have existed actually since the beginning of time in the book of Genesis. But they have existed more in our era in terms of notable people outside the Bible since the time of the apostles. And some of these heresies have names. They have the names of the prominent heretic who believed in those false doctrines. For example, there was the heresy that denied the humanity of Christ. His name was Ebion. The man's name was Ebion. Another was the name, his name was Corinthus. In the time of the Reformation, in the time of Luther and Calvin, in the 1500s, there was a man named Servetus, Michael Servetus. Today, many liberals deny the humanity the deity of Christ, claiming he is only human. Only human. Today, Muslims will do the same. Muslims will say he was a man, he was a sinless prophet, he was a good prophet, but he was only a man without deity. Furthermore, there's Hindus. Hindus will say that he was a human who became the Son of God, or the Son of God, a Son of God who came into the world, and he's just one of the sons of God, not the Son of God. So in one way or another, they are diminishing his deity and only believing in his humanity. There are many such heresies like that. What about whether he died on the cross? Remember, we're talking about Jesus the Christ. Do you think John the Apostle believed Jesus died on the cross? Yes. Whether he rose from the dead? Yes. But heretics over the years have said, no, he did not die on the cross. We have studied in the past, Gnostics, also called Docetics, denied that he died on the cross. He never denied on the cross because he was only a phantom. He did not have a body of flesh and bones. In our day, there are still some. The Christian Scientists, Mary Baker Eddy, founded this religion known as Christian Scientism, which is not Christianity, nor is it Scientism. She says that he was only a phantom, did not die. There's no actual death. Well, if he never died, which Jesus are we talking about? Who are we talking about here? Some liberals also say that too. He never died. He only swooned. He was near death. He swooned, but he never died. And then he rose from the dead only in the sense that he mustered up enough strength to walk out, crawl out of the grave, and then the disciples saw him and helped him to recover. Okay, so this is known as phantomism. He never died. It seemed like he died, but he never died. And he seemed like he was a human, but he was not a human. So there are different aspects to his identity and ministry that are denied by people, even today, in Christianity and outside of Christianity. Can we be Christians and get any of this wrong? According to John the Apostle, he says, no, we would be liars. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? In John's mind, does the Christ possess deity? Yes. 1 John 5, verse 20. 1 John 5, 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding in order that we might know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. This is the true God. Who is this? This is known as a demonstrative pronoun or a demonstrative adjectival pronoun. But it has to refer to somebody before this. And the name, the person mentioned, is Jesus Christ. And scholars admit that it's hard to say this is not referring to Jesus Christ. Therefore, they reluctantly have to admit, even some liberals have to admit, that at least John says here that he believes that the true God is Jesus Christ. They have to reluctantly admit it, though they don't believe it. They admit that according to the Greek grammar, that that is the case. Okay, well, what about him having a body of flesh? Can we say we believe in Jesus, but Jesus was not a human? He was only a phantom, and he, in his body, never died on the cross? Can we hold to that view? No, according to 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. Here, we cannot deny that Jesus came in the flesh. That is, he had a real physical body of flesh and bones. People might say, well, it's just a matter of history. Whether a matter of fact, whether he did or didn't, it's not a big deal. As just as long as we believe in Jesus, we can go to heaven. Well, which Jesus? The Jesus who had a body of flesh and bones and died on the cross for our sins? Or one who did not have a body and did not die on the cross? Did not die on the cross for our sins. Which Jesus are we talking about? We cannot compromise Jesus' identity or his ministry. In fact, John continues in 2 John to say the following. 2 John, the book of 2 John, verses 7 to 9. Or let's read 7 to 11. 7 to 11. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves that you might not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. John says that there are many deceivers, verse 7, who have gone out into the world. These many deceivers do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. Here, just as we saw in 1 John 4, he uses this compound designation, Jesus, which is his personal name. And then he says Christ, which is his title. And in the scripture, it's Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. These are combined. Why? Because Jesus more has to do with his humanity, his incarnational name. And Christ has more to do with his appointment and anointment by God, who, being the Son of God, comes into the world and becomes a man, becomes a son of man. Son of God means he has the nature of God. Son of man means he has the nature of man. The word Christ is, in a way, summarizing everything that we need to know about his identity and ministry. That's why it is so helpful. And sometimes in Scripture, it's simply Christ or in Christ. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. These are put together. That Jesus of Nazareth, he is the Christ. That's why he's called Jesus Christ. Well, we cannot deny that he came in the flesh. That is, that God became a man. He didn't cease being God, but he took upon a human nature. That's what the heretics are denying. They deny that that fact has occurred. So then, verse 9 says, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. That goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Well, if Christ called himself the Christ, and somebody says he's a Christian, that is a follower of Christ, but he denies that Christ claimed to be Christ, then he is going too far. Correct? If somebody denies his deity, he's going too far. If somebody denies his humanity, he's going too far. What if someone says he's not the Son of the Father? We're in 2 John. 2 John verse 3. 2 John verse 3. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Jesus is the Son of the Father. That is, the Father is always the Father, eternally the Father, and the Son is always eternally the Son, because he's always related to the Father in that relationship. So if he's eternally the Son of the Father, because God doesn't change. God did not one day become a father. He's always been the Father in relation to his Son. Not in relation to us, but in relation to his Son, he's always been God the Father. So the Son is eternal and became flesh. But what if we deny the things that Christ taught? How serious is it? John, in 1 John 2:22, called us, would call us liars if we denied it. In verse 9, 2 John 9, he says, we do not have God. That is, we claim to be with God, having God's favor. God is on our side. God dwells in us. We know God. God knows us. We will go to heaven. We might make all those claims, which anti-Trinitarian Pentecostals, Oneness Pentecostals, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, they all claim that they have a correct understanding of Jesus and they're going to heaven, or that everything will be well and swell with them in the afterlife. But here John says, does not have God. They don't have God. They claim it. But just because you name it and claim it doesn't mean it's true. Verses 10 and 11, not only that, but when they come bringing their teaching with them into our house and giving us a Christian greeting saying, hey, brother, praise the Lord, brother. Hallelujah, brother. Nice to see you, brother. They call us brother. We cannot give them a return greeting. Hey, brother in Christ. Good to see you. Glad we believe the same. We cannot reciprocate. They might do it to us. They might want to come into our house and teach the false doctrines, but we cannot allow them to teach the false doctrines. Not in our house, and we cannot call them brothers. No Christian greeting at all. That's because they are liars. And we cannot ever associate with liars. 1 John, this is how serious it is to be a liar and to associate with liars. 1 John 5:9-13. 1 John 5:9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For the witness of God is this, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the witness that God has borne concerning his Son. And the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. If we want assurance of eternal life, we must believe in everything God has testified or borne witness concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. If we don't believe everything God has told us through his word, it says in verse 10, we make him a liar. We make him a liar. Is God the liar, or are we a liar if we deny God and God's word? We are, and we belong to Satan. 1 John 3. 1 John 3:10. By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. We are not of God if we don't practice righteousness, and we're not of God if we do not love our brother. In fact, we belong to the devil. John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The devil himself is a liar and the father of lies. That's how egregious, blasphemous it is to deny the truthfulness of the Word of God in reference to anything it says. And what is the Scripture all about? Christ himself. So we cannot deny anything the Scripture says. We can't massage it. We cannot mitigate it. We cannot adjust it. We cannot make adjustments to our own mind, according to our own whims, according to our own fancies. We cannot make any changes. Whatever the Bible says is true. Otherwise, we are on the side of the devil, who is a liar and a deceiver. On whose side shall we be? On God's side or the devil's side? If we're on the devil's side, we are antichrists, we are deniers, we are liars, we are deceivers. Let's be on God's side. Let God be found true, though every man a liar. Romans 3:4. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Amen.